Hey, Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning for another worship experience where we can gather and sing, hear a message from God's word, and respond together through prayer, communion, and giving. My name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard Church, and we are so glad that you have joined us. This is Matt and Natalie. They're going to be leading us in worship this morning. And I just want to give you a heads up that at any moment throughout our service today, if you want prayer, you can click that live chat button, request prayer. We would love to pray with you this morning. And in a little while, towards the end of our service, we'll take communion together. And so you might want to grab some bread or crackers, some juice or water, whatever you have in your kitchen to prepare for communion later in this service. It'll be a great time to share that together. But for now, let's pray and prepare to worship this morning. God, thank you so much. Thank you that your presence is everywhere, that it's here with us right now as we film. It's in the homes of everybody who's watching. We invite your Holy Spirit to move in and among us. Help us to set this time apart so that we can experience and encounter you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We encourage you to sing this with us. Lift your voices.
How beautiful your holy word that formed the worlds in such goodness. Though the shame that we would spurn it all to turn and fall into darkness. God, we'll sing your Son, he turned this loss and hurt into glory. How, when scorned and death, you raise him up, his gains become the whole world's story. Let all things rise and bless your name. All things made right and new again. Oh Lord, our God, your goodness is free and boundless, is reaching endless through it all. Walk this road with every step. In him
You, my Jesus, you, my Jesus.
truly all of this and more. You are all that we could hope or ever ask or even imagine. And even in exceedingly more than all of that, God, that's you. That's your character. That's your provision. That's your heart. That's who you are.
Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. It is always a treat to be able to know that we are being united in song all across our city and our region. And so thank you for worshiping with us. Well, if you're tuning in late again, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard Church. Really excited that you're joining us this morning. Before we jump into our new series called Sticky, I just want to share a couple of announcements with you that I think are really important to who we are as a church and where we're headed in the future. First, a few days ago, we had a kind of church meeting, a family chat, if you would, a virtual vision night where we talked about the progress that we're making over our four key goals as a church family, as well as how we're planning on doing church come this summer. We recorded that and we put it online. If you head to our website, we can put the link to that in our chat right now. You can follow that. You can watch that later this week if you didn't have a time to catch that. It was a really great night where we charted the course for the future. And so you'll definitely want to take a look at that. And also wanted to mention that we are ready to launch common interest groups, which is kind of our small group model for the summer, where we gather in groups of 5, 10 people or so around a common interest. And we just share time with one another, building relationship, building friendship. It was great last year when we did this. So we're going to be repeating that again this summer. A lot of them are outside, as you can imagine, with all the COVID-19 regulations. But you'll want to take a look at the common interest groups because registrations are now open. Well, let me transition into our new series. We're starting a 3-week series today called Sticky. And the inspiration around this series came from 1 Corinthians 13, where it says this: three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Every week for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look and hone in on one of those key categories. This week, we're looking at faith. Next week, we're going to talk about hope. And we'll close the series in a few weeks centered on love. And really want to be answering kind of two questions, right? Two questions. One, in the midst of COVID-19, when it seems like things are being taken away from us, when we're experiencing loss, how can we believe this verse to be true for our own life? How can we make sure that we are partnering with God so that these things can remain sticky in our own hearts, in our own souls, in our own lives? And the second question we want to look at is, how can we live lives that are sticky or attractive to those that are around us in the midst of this pandemic? How can we live sticky lives full of faith, hope, and love? Really excited for this series and really excited that we have a guest speaker this week. We've asked Rick Olmsted, the founder of our church. We had an amazing transition between he and I last year to send us a video. He's out in California. We asked him to send us a video so that he could open up this series to us this morning. So here's Rick Olmsted kicking off the Sticky series by taking a look at faith. Enjoy this.
Hello, Vineyard of the Rockies. It's really good for me to be with you today. I love you guys so much, and you will always have a special place in my heart. It's been a long time since I got to worship in person with you, but I watch you on video all the time, so I want you to know I'm still a part of you even though you don't see me. Today, I wanted to just share with you a quick little story about my journey in faith. Every once in a while, there's a time in life when God seems to open a door to ask you to do something that you couldn't possibly do in your own strength. It's kind of like when Rick and I moved to start the church 37 years ago, and then he did it again when we stepped down from leading the church and moved into a new direction. And when those times happen, it takes a lot of faith to believe that God can really do those things that you could never do in your own strength. And some of the trap I was falling into this year is I'd start imagining what would it be like in the future or how would God accomplish this? And I found out that that was really a negative thing for me because it would fill me with doubt and fear and I'd get anxious and it would just seem to drain my faith. So one day God got my attention. He spoke to me. I saw a picture of my hand just out in front of my face. And I felt like God said, don't look beyond your hand. Now, my hand wasn't right here. I could still look a ways, but I wasn't supposed to look beyond my hand into the future. And I was just supposed to trust God that every day I'd take a step and he'd be there for me and I didn't have to worry at all about how was this big plan of his going to come about. But I just take a step, one step at a time every day and leave it up to God and he's the one that can make it happen. So that's my journey of what I'm learning. And Rick's going to come now and he's going to talk to you about sticky faith.
Thanks, Becky. You know, so much of what I've learned about faith, I've learned from her. Well, good morning, Vineyard family. Wow, have I ever missed saying that to you. You know, as you've probably heard, that Becky and I are leading the 414 movement, and we're helping out a church that's been in distress and in California. We've been out here for a while, and I just need to say I am so proud. We are so proud of Jeff and Natalie and Vineyard Church of the Rockies and how you guys have come together to continue God's work since we've been gone. Congratulations, 1 year anniversary, Jeff, that you've made it. You had quite an interesting first year with all the things you've dealt with and now dealing with this coronavirus. And I believe that God has great things in store for our church at Fort Collins. And we just have great memories and great relationships. And we just love you guys so much. You know, I hear great stories about what's been happening during this COVID-19 lockdown that we're all in all over the country, and just some of the creative things that you're doing as a church in Fort Collins. And I'm just so proud of you guys. Way to go, church. You know, today is interesting. It's quite the switch, because it wasn't that long ago that I would tell Jeff what our topic is, and I would assign him a particular topic in a series, and now he's the one that's assigning a topic to me. Actually, I'm excited about talking about sticky faith, which is what he asked me to do, faith that sticks, faith that endures. And, you know, last week, Jeff talked about being in Peru and doing this open-air meeting and having faith that came on him and to pray for healing. And this person that, you know, this woman that couldn't hear and this guy that couldn't walk and all of it. And he just stepped out in faith and they got healed. And it's like, wow. And it's like, yeah, thanks, Jeff. And now you want me to talk about faith after probably the best story I've heard about faith in a long time. And so I feel a little bit overwhelmed having to follow that last week. And, you know, Jeff's such a good teacher. And I just love, Jeff, the way you're leading Vineyard Church of the Rockies. You know, the faith that Jeff expressed in Peru that day wasn't a faith that he had to work up. And it was a faith that he didn't have. But in the moment, something happened. The Holy Spirit came on him and faith came on him. Very much like Peter after they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And he saw this beggar at the gate called Beautiful that had been there day after day. And he looks at him and he says, you know, get up and walk. And it was just like that powerful moment that was faith to speak that to him in that moment. But, you know, Jeff could have ignored it. He could have said, you know what? That's too crazy. What if it doesn't happen? He could have talked himself out of it, but he didn't. He took that step of faith and God backed him up. And that's where faith becomes sticky. That when faith becomes your own, when you step out and you have your own story of how God came through for you, how God spoke to you, or you thought God was speaking to you and you stepped into it and then something happened, you know, when you experience those kinds of things, faith becomes personal to you. You know, an interesting passage in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So that's what happened to Jeff. He heard something. It's like, I want to heal some people. It's like, you do? And so we hear something and then stepping out to that is just a powerful thing. By the way, it's not having faith in faith. That's out there in the marketplace. If I just believe hard enough and strong enough and I believe, and we try to work ourselves up, it's not faith in faith. It's faith in him. And it's faith in what we hear. And it's daring to believe God. That's what moved us to Colorado. That's what moved us into the 414 and caused, and when God called us to step out, we don't know how he's going to take care of us, how it's going to work. And now we're helping a church out in California, and we have a team out here that's our 414 team that we're working with. And I couldn't see any of this happen when Becky talked about not looking so far out that you miss here. And so we're trying to do, I think what God asked, just do what's in front of you. It's not believe for the huge things out there and the big things, but right now, what's in front of you? Where the Lord's saying, will you trust me? You know, another thing I've learned along the way is that faith and doubt live together. That you're not gonna have real faith unless you have permission to doubt. When I first became a follower of Jesus, it was almost like a sin to doubt. You're supposed to just believe it and accept it. But there are things that I doubted, and there's been things, times along the way that I'm not sure what I believe, and I'm struggling with the whole issues of faith and how does it work? Well, there was a story where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to Mount Tabor, known as the Mount of Transfiguration. And there Jesus was transfigured in there right before their very eyes in his glorified state. And Moses is there and Elijah's there, and it's a mountaintop experience. But then they have to go down, and they're riding this big spiritual high. And then they ran into a father that was distraught because he had asked Jesus' disciples that didn't go up there to heal his son, and it didn't happen. And now this is the response that happened. It said, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth," this is a big deal, "and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." And Jesus interludes there and says, you know what? You guys could have done this. Come on. But then Jesus turns and asks the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "He has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." If you can. Can you imagine that moment? Just like it stopped Jesus in his track. What do you mean, if I can? You're asking him if I can, but you know what? That's where he was at. That he didn't know that Jesus was gonna heal him for sure. He was asking, he was hopeful. He had heard about Jesus doing things like this. But it was really honest, and he said, "If you can, would you take pity on my son?" And Jesus said, "What do you mean if I can?" And then he goes on from that, "Everything is possible for one who believes." Now, I don't think it's like that everything is possible, whatever we want to be possible. But the things that God wants to say and do, when he speaks those things to us, it can happen if we believe. And so he's telling the disciples this as they're listening, because they were struggling with this. Now, listen what happens next. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe." This is a big moment. "I believe." And then the next thing, "Help me overcome my unbelief." What is that? Faith and doubt living together. One moment I believe, and next moment I don't know. I'm not sure about anything. So what's Jesus going to do? Is he going to rebuke this guy? Is he going to walk away because he doesn't have enough faith? It says when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And the boy was healed and set free, and it's a powerful moment. Now, I was thinking about this. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't say, "You know what, sorry, Dad, but you don't have enough faith here, so it's not gonna happen today. You come back when it's more than can you, or if you can, when you believe and you know that it can happen and you're full of faith, then you come back to me and then we'll talk about healing your son," or something like that. None of that happened. The father just says, "You know what? I don't know. I don't know, but you know what? I believe kind of, but I'm not sure." But you know what the faith that he had? To bring his son to Jesus. That's all he had. He said, "I don't know if you're gonna do it. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but I'm gonna ask." Maybe there's desperation because of his son and what's happening to him. And sometimes that's what drives us to God for something. But there was just that moment. So I'm not gonna pretend to have faith. I'm not gonna pretend. And Jesus didn't make him pretend. And as a result of that, he recognized that the faith, the little faith he had to put in Jesus, resulted in the healing of his son. You know, sometimes we start off strong, especially younger, in our younger days, and we believe God can do anything through anybody. And we had that in the earlier days of our church for sure. A healing movement was going on in the Vineyard during those days, and we're going all over the world doing conferences. And then something happened. When a close friend of mine, Dave Warden, ended up with cancer. He was instrumental in not only in supporting Becky and I, he and his wife, Debbie, but they hosted us and they just did so many things. And now he's got cancer, but we knew God was going to heal him. And we prayed, we were praying every night. We had our prayer teams mobilized. We did it all right. And then he dies. And it's like, I don't know how much more faith I could have had. And we prayed our guts out. We didn't just pray from our heart. We prayed our guts out. We put everything we had, and we had seen other people healed, and then he dies. You know, as a result of that, it's like, I don't know if I want to pray for people anymore. It was really hard. And, you know, outwardly, you know, I kept going, but inwardly, it's like, man, this is like cold water. This is like, it's like a gut check for me. You know, I just thought it wouldn't be this way, not when you have faith. You know, I realize that faith in God is also faith in what God wants to do, that if God's not choosing to heal somebody, that it doesn't matter how much faith you and I can conjure up, it's not going to happen. But if it's something he desires to do and he says, you know what, if you call it out, if you believe, then I'm ready to go. And so we never know how that works. But there's a time in our lives, you guys, Vineyard friends, family, that you got to get up and go again. You got to get off the floor. And you got to say, God, you know what? I'm discouraged. I'm disillusioned. You know, I haven't seen all the stuff that I hope to see. But you know what? I'm going to ask again. I'm going to go for it in all of this. So what is faith? Sticky faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. It's that sense of hope. It's that sense of, I'm confident that God has spoken something. God's going to come through. I don't know how he's going to come through. In Hebrews 11, there was a hall of fame of faith, which they were all commended for their faith, but some got what was promised and some didn't. But they were all commended for their faith. And so we don't know how it's all going to end up. But faith is somehow connected to hope. Paul talked in Corinthians about faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love, and love holds them together, but it's not one or the other. It's all of them. Faith, hope, and love. They live together, and it's powerful for all of us. You know, John Wimber used to say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, and it certainly is. If there's no risk, then it's I don't know what kind of faith that it really is. In Hebrews 11:6, the writer of Hebrews says it like this, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's a huge verse. That it pleases God when we trust him, when we step out in faith, when we dare to believe something beyond what we can see ourselves doing. I remember when my boys Greg and Jeff were growing up in different times and trying to get him to jump off a table and I'd catch him or ride a bike or jump off the edge of a pool and I'll catch him in the water. And there was that thing, it's like, I don't know if I trust you, Dad. It's like, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. But then they jump, they take that plunge. And you know what? It was so pleasing to me that they would take that moment and they would trust me. And they were scared and they didn't know what to do, but they jumped anyway. And then I could catch them. And it was just like, it was just an incredible moment. And we've all had that with our kids. When your kids trust you, when somebody trusts you, it's a pleasing thing. And that's how God feels about all of this. You know, God's not interested in us trying to impress him. It's not faith in faith. But if he says, walk on the water, we got to go. We just got to go. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Remember? And so that's what got Peter out of the boat. You know, he didn't know how to walk on water. He didn't have faith to walk on water. But in that moment, he heard a voice and Jesus said, come. And it's like crazy enough. He didn't read the manual, but he jumped out of the boat and he's walking for a while because he heard something. So when we hear God speak something and we're not sure it's God, we'll never know if we don't step toward it and step into it. And it's a powerful picture there. Last thing I'd like to bring up here is sometimes we're looking for the great faith. We're continually or constantly barraged with fantastic stories of amazing faith and super faith. And I want to give you those. And it just sounds so exciting. Yeah, You know, the Indiana Jones picture where there's that leap of faith and he steps into nowhere and the rock's there and it's like, wow, that just, we get all excited. But sometimes it feels otherly, like out of reach for somebody else. Well, I want to close with this. Jesus shared a parable about the kingdom. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants. It becomes like a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Jesus is talking about faith. It's not trying to conjure up great faith, but it's using the faith that you have, like that dad. That's all he has. Like, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. I don't know, Jesus, but I got my son here. Would you? He came with the faith that he had. And as we exercise whatever level of faith we have in him, then it grows. And then the next time it grows. And then the next time it grows. Finally, later on in Matthew 17, he says, because you have so little faith, the disciples were like us. I don't know about you guys, but I think faith is seasonal. There are seasons I have a lot of faith, and there are seasons I don't have hardly any faith at all. I need people around me that do. So it's a seasonal thing, but the disciples wrestle with this. And she said, because you have so little faith, I truly tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, back to that mustard seed, small little seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And it's one of those things that it's not about doing what we choose to do, but it's exercising that little bit of that mustard seed. Many of you remember a number of years ago that I passed out a mustard seed, and I bet you some of you still have it. It was that little thing of a mustard seed as a sign that I don't need a lot of faith. I just need to use the faith that I have and bring that before God. You know, in closing, it's like when you step out and you trust God in faith, it pleases God so much. It warms his heart. It means you trust him. And it's just a very special moment. I think faith is doing what God has called us to do. It's he gives us faith for something. It's not faith. He doesn't give us faith to do what I want to do, but he gives me faith for what he wants to do. And it was just like that moment with Jeff in Peru. That was God wanted to do something, and he landed faith on Jeff, but it was up to Jeff whether he was going to step out and do it. And if he hadn't done it, then who knows what would have happened or not happened. And so that's a powerful picture there. I think faith is stepping out in what we believe in, not what we don't believe in. I think faith becomes sticky when we step into the unknown, when we Indiana Jones off the ledge. You know, if God doesn't come through, I don't know what's going to happen. So what have you stopped asking God for? That maybe, like me, that there was a sense at the beginning, I believe God can do anything. You can heal people, and you're asking and you're going for it. And then you get discouraged because you're not seeing it. And so you stop asking. So what have you maybe stopped asking for? Because I think God wants you to ask again. What area of your life do you need to ask God for faith for? Right now, that is it in your, is it finances? Is it your marriage, relationships? Is it this, your health? Is it this virus? Is, you know, what do you need to ask God for? You know, lastly, what I've discovered over time, I don't like this, but just because you have faith in one area doesn't equal faith in another area. I know some people have real faith for money, but they don't have faith to get over an addiction. Or they don't have faith for a relationship, or they have faith that, you know, that God can provide and do this and that. It's like, but you know what? It's when you only have faith for this area, that area, maybe it's not what we're talking about. Because sticky faith is when you're trusting him, not just him to provide money or him to provide healing or this to happen or these things. And if you can see yourself doing it or seeing, if you can picture God doing it, then it's all come in. But it's just say, God, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my money, with all of it, my health and all of it. But it's trusting in him. And lastly, I'd say I want to pray with you guys. And it's emotional speaking to you because I love you so much. I love our church in Fort Collins. But maybe our prayer is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God, I'm trying to believe, but Lord, I need you to come and give me that faith to trust you and that willingness to step out and trust you, God. And I ask, Lord, that you would give all of us that are watching right now that sense of taking that one step where faith becomes ours, where faith is a sticky faith. It becomes my faith, not somebody else's faith, because I see you work, that I see your hand in my life and I see your hand working through my life, God. So, Lord, we believe like that mustard seed. Help us to believe more. Help us to believe more. Raise our faith. Give us the gift of faith, God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Vineyard of the Rockies family. We'll see you soon.
Rick, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us. It's always great to hear from our founding pastor, Rick Olmsted. I love that we're still able to hear from him from time to time. At the Vineyard, after every message, we always respond to what God is doing in our midst based on what we heard from the message, as well as what God's doing in our lives. And as we've been gathering electronically, the way that we've been starting that response time is by taking communion together. So if you have your communion elements, I would encourage you to grab them now as we partake in this together. On the last night, the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread with his disciples. He broke that bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can go ahead and take your bread now. Then he took the cup that represents the new covenant, a new way of a relationship with God that we can approach him. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Jesus, thank you so much for the way that you broke your body for us and poured out your blood for us. Thank you because of that. We can reflect back on that moment. We can trust in the faith that you have deposited into us, and we can pray for you to grow it and unite us to you. We invite you to come now and have your way as we respond to you. Amen. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to continue to worship together. There's a number of other ways that we would invite you to respond. As always, we would invite you to request prayer. If there's anything happening in your life at all, you can click that live prayer button near the chat, and one of our staff will open up a private window with you so that we can pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. Of course, you can worship with us. And if you are prepared to be generous to God as he has been generous to you through an act of worship of giving, then we would invite you to give at this time as well. You know, and one other thing that strikes me is right now as we're going through this pandemic, some of you maybe have never started a relationship with Jesus, and today's message or today's worship, something about what God is doing in your heart right now, you're beginning to lean towards him. The arrows of your heart and your life are pointing towards him, and you're ready to make that first decision to surrender your life to Jesus and start an eternal relationship with him. If that's you and you're ready to make Jesus the Lord of your life, then you can do that this morning as well, by virtually raising your hand and saying, "I'm ready to start a relationship with Jesus." And if there's any way we can facilitate that and help you start that journey, we would love to do that as a staff as well. God bless you. Let's respond to what God is doing in our midst together.
Been held in your hand
Bring light to the darkness. We put our faith in your greatness, God.
Worship with you. It is so great to worship our amazing Father in heaven who loves and cares for us so dearly. A special thanks to Rick Olmsted again for sharing his wisdom with us. It's such an honor to have you in our corner encouraging us. Thank you so much again, Rick. We're praying for you and Becky. We love you guys. And thank you, Vineyard Church, for joining us again for another Sunday. We hope you are blessed. And we are praying for you the rest of this Sunday and the rest of your week. We can't wait to get together again in June, but we are so thankful that we can still gather together. God bless you and have a great Sunday.